Hello. Welcome to this episode of One Single Woman. This is a podcast for single people. My name is Pip Brown. I am not currently partnered. I am not a wife and I am not a mother. I am living an empowered and independent life with my two rescue dogs, Haddie and Goose. Join me and my wonderful guests as I lift the lid on the societal pressures surrounding relationships, marriage, children, and an array of other important issues. I will also share with you my thoughts and experiences of being happily single and enjoying life unattached. Let's go. Hello, and a massive warm welcome back to One Single Woman. Now, this week I am trying something different because I've been struggling. When I first set up this podcast, I thought, oh, that sounds easy. I can, obviously I've listened to so many podcast episodes from so many people, and I thought, yeah, I can just sit and write down everything that I want to say and sit and record it. Well, that isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. It's not something which comes naturally. Obviously, I'm talking about really sort of like quite deep things within my heart, and to sit and write them down, writing down exactly what I want to say in the order that I want to say it is just not really working for me. So I was talking to a friend of mine recently, a very dear friend of mine, and she suggested that I do some sort of off the cuff episodes if I give it a go. And she said, you know, you could go out with your dogs and just talk as you're walking. And I thought, well, it's worth a try. I thought, I'm not sure about the sounding. I'm not sure about, you know, at the moment I am sat on a rock. It's the second day of March. It's absolutely beautiful. It was raining really hard this morning, but it's cleared up lovely. The sun's out. I've got blue sky and big fluffy clouds in front of me, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm sat in my favourite place. One of my favourite places, on a rock, looking out to sea. And I thought, I'm going to give this a go because, like I say, the other way isn't working for me, and I really want to be able to talk in solo episodes on a regular basis. So I'll give this a go. And what I wanted to talk about today was grief, depression and anxiety. Obviously, as some of you will know if you've listened to my episodes, I've been single most of my life, and so these are emotions which I'm in no way an expert with, but I have a lot of experience with, and I wanted to share some of the ways in which I've dealt with these emotions over the years as a single woman. So I'm just going to start talking. I just want to let you know that I'm out with Goose, so literally anything could happen. I've got Haddie here and also my mum's dog Toggle, so like I say, anything could happen. There could be a row over a dead fish, there could be, I don't know, there's a catalogue of events that could occur, so just bear with me. So yeah, like I say, I'm just going to start talking. So just to give you some background, when I was 17 years old, I lost my father under very shocking and very sudden circumstances. He took his own life, and the way in which he did so was extremely shocking. So I'm not going to go into any of that, but I just wanted you to know that because it's relevant for obviously what I'm going to be talking about and how I was dealing with various emotions. So my parents divorced when I was a baby, and although my dad didn't live with us, he was a huge part of my life. I was close to him. I saw him on a regular basis. I'm going to start walking, so I really hope that I don't get too that the sound of my footsteps aren't going to be too annoying on this. Here comes Goosey. Hello, Goose. My parents divorced when I was a baby, and although he didn't live with us, I was extremely close to him. I saw him on a regular basis, and I was able to speak to him on the phone on a regular basis, which, and I always knew that he was at the end of the phone if I needed to speak to him. And of course, suddenly that was all just completely taken away. So it was October 2002. And like I say, I was 17. I was at home with my mum and brother, still lived at home at that point. And there was I was upstairs, I was getting ready to go out with a friend of mine who, it was, I worked with her and it was her birthday and we were going to go out and celebrate for the evening with some other people. So, and there was a knock on the door and it was the police. And they came in and they explained to us what had happened. And I remember my first emotion with all of that was panic, because I was obviously going to be letting my friend down. The first thing I thought to myself in this sort of like mad moment was about my friend. And I thought, oh my God, I can't go out for my friend's birthday. How am I going to tell her that I can't go out for her birthday? Because I knew we'd both been really looking forward to going out that evening. And I felt guilty. I thought, I've got to let my friend know that I can't go out because my dad's died. Anyway, obviously all that was dealt with. I think my mum actually dealt with that for me. And the next thing was I just went into a complete state of depression. I was signed off work for, I think it was 3 or 4 months. And I spent most of that time in bed asleep. I would wake up, have something to eat, go back to bed. I was sleeping all day. I was sleeping, I think, mostly through the night. I think the shock was just, and the grief was just too much, and I couldn't function normally. I remember the physical heartache. Anyone who's experienced grief will, I'm sure, know exactly what I'm talking about by physical heartache. A pain in your chest where your heart is, and nobody and nothing can take that away. And that was something which I found so incredibly difficult to deal with, was that the one person who could have made that okay was the one person I couldn't talk to. I went through so many emotions. I was angry with him. I wanted to hit him. The sadness, the grief, and the other emotion was despair. And I experienced so much despair over that period of my life. And I believe that's the worst emotion I've ever experienced in my life. This feeling that there is just absolutely no hope. And it was just horrendous. It was just absolutely horrendous. I was eventually put onto, I'd had a little bit of counselling, which for me personally didn't help me. I didn't feel comfortable sat talking to somebody who was, you know, sort of being paid to listen to me. That didn't help me. I was eventually put onto antidepressants by the doctor. And I went on to be on those antidepressants for 10 years of my life from that point. I think at the time they helped me. They helped me to get back out of bed. They helped me to grieve. They helped me to function where before I couldn't have done. I was, like I say, I was literally just in bed asleep all the time. But I think after that, they were almost a form of, you're right.
Right, I'm back. You wouldn't believe what's just happened. I turned round and there was a lady on the up in the sort of, I'm sat by some rocks, and behind me is a kind of like little formation cliff, and I heard this cry, and this lady literally just fell down the bank. She's covered in mud. I got her up and she's wandered off, and she said she was fine, but she was covered in mud. And I knew this was going to be a bit of a cowboy episode. Oh my gosh, I did think it was going to be a goose related incident that would pop up, but no, to some random lady falling out the bank. Anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, so I believe for me the antidepressants were a comfort blanket in a way. I think that, like I said, they got me back to functioning, but I had to go back for 6 monthly reviews, and I was kept on them because I was scared. I was scared of who I was going to be without those tablets. I mean, they'd help me get back to, like I say, some form of normality, and I was just dreading the thought of coming off of them because
I thought, well, am I going to go back to square one? Am I going to go back to bed again? Am I just going to revert back to how I was before? When I was about 18, I joined a local gym, and I did so to go swimming. There was a pool where I used to go, and so I joined up thinking, oh, I'll go for sort of regular swims. And one day, one of the instructors down there said to me, oh, why don't you come to running club? And I thought to myself, no bloody way, I'm not going to running club. I'd never run. I used to avoid cross country at school like the plague. And to me, that was just, I've always been sort of up and down. There's a plane going over now, sorry. I've always been sort of up and down with my weight. But at that point, I think I was quite heavy. And I thought, there is no way I'm going running. Anyway, he sort of persuaded me. He said, look, just come along with us. You can go at the back and you can run and walk. There's no pressure. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. And I just remember going off for this run, which was, I think, something like about 2.5 miles, considering I'd never run before. And I was right at the back, and oh my God, I just remember feeling just this utter sort of like, oh, it was awful. There was probably about 10 or 12 people, and they all just took off, and I was, like I say, I was at the back like some sort of sweaty tomato trying to keep up with them. There was a member of staff with me who was really sweet, and so that was really nice of them. They sort of stayed at the back with me. And I remember I had pains in my chest. I was literally just like, what the hell am I doing here with all these like athletic people? Anyway, eventually I got back. I crawled my way back to the club, but probably about 15 minutes after everyone else. And I remember thinking to myself, right, I am never ever in my life going to do that again. And they were all like, oh, well done, Pip, and saying, oh yeah, see you next week. I was like, yeah, see you next week, thinking, bloody won't see me next week. But I remember that night I got home and I felt this like real sense of achievement. I thought, well, I hadn't shied away from it. I went and I ran, and okay, I didn't run the whole way, and I walked a lot of it, and I ended up feeling like I was going to have a heart attack. But I actually went and I did it, and I faced that fear of exercise in that way. And yeah, like I say, it was like this massive sense of achievement that I'd done it. But I still thought, I'm not doing it next week, but it was a good experience. Anyway, the following week came round and I decided to go again. And this time, it was just as bad. It was awful. But again, I got that sense of achievement afterwards. And also the people that I was running with were really, really lovely people as well. So it was kind of just a nice little challenge to set for myself. And hello. And so after that, I started doing a little bit of running in my own time. So I lived on sort of quite a big block at that point when I was growing up, and so I thought, right, I'm going to go and run the block one evening. So I did that, and then I think the next evening I did it maybe a block and a bit, and I built it up, and eventually I was going around this block about 3 or 4 times, and I was improving. And eventually I ended up at the running club. I ended up sort of being nearly at the front. The guy at the front, there's no way I was going to keep up with him. He had the like, longest legs I've ever seen. But I was doing really, really well, and I ended up going off and doing sort of some competitions with them, and I really, really got into it. I'm sure anyone who's ever got the running bug will know exactly what I'm on about, that it is. It's so addictive once you get into it, and that lovely feeling that you get from exercising. And But one thing that I really found with it, and obviously I was about 18 at that point, and so I was still very much in the stages of grief and, you know, depression at that point, but what I found was that doing that for myself and giving myself this project that I was working on was so good for my mental health, because it was nothing to do with my dad. It was something that I was doing for me that was nothing to do with him, was nothing to do with feeling horrendous, it was nothing to do with grief, it was nothing to do with anxiety. It was something, like I say, that I was doing for me. And the more I got into it, I ended up, I mean, I've now leaned heavily into exercise over the course of my life. When I've been feeling these feelings, you know, I'm very much aware that his death will never ever leave me. I don't believe that time is a healer. I don't believe that expression is true, but I do believe that time allows you the space from that situation to accept it and to accept a new normal of life. I recently heard grief actually described as the transition from the person that you were before that event happened to the person that you're going to be without that person in your life. And I think that's completely accurate. So obviously at this point I was still on antidepressants, but I did get really into exercise. I lost a lot of weight. And when I was probably about 27 or 28, so like I say, about 10 years later, I went one day to pick up my prescription from the supermarket, and I sat in the car and I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to be on these anymore. I feel that for me, they were, like I say, they were a comfort blanket. They numbed me. I think after the initial help that they gave me of getting out of bed and getting back to normality, I think it was just a case of numbing me. So I was sat in the car this one day and I thought to myself, right, I am going to come off of these. And I didn't consult the doctor, which I probably should have done, but I didn't consult the doctor. And what I did was I gradually broke them down. I was on, I can't remember what dosage I was on, but I cut them down by a quarter of a tablet every 3 weeks. So I did 3 weeks of three quarters of a tablet, 3 weeks of half a tablet, 3 weeks of a quarter of a tablet, and then I stopped them completely. And I am so pleased that I did, because I believe I had better clarity in my mind when I wasn't on them. I think I was able to feel things a lot deeper not being on them. And even though that would have, at the time, if I'd known that, I would have sort of probably shied away from that, I leaned really heavily into the exercise. And I believe that exercise is such an incredible way to manage your mental health, and that's why I really want to talk about that, because it's so easy to hear that exercise is good for you. And if you're not somebody who enjoys exercise, which I certainly wasn't, it's so easy to think, oh well, yeah, that's all well and good, but I don't like doing that. But if you actually allow yourself to just give yourself a chance, and you know, you don't have to go heavy, and it's not sort of go hard or go home. It's, you know, you can start off really, like, if you didn't want to go for a run, you could go for a walk. And but the thing is to challenge yourself, is to, you know, go for a walk, see how fast you can go, see how far you can go, and then make that like a little project that you're working on. With whatever you're dealing with in your life, with either depression, anxiety, whatever's going on, is it gives you a focus, and the endorphins released from exercising, especially if you do push yourself, give you that natural high. And like I said, I have leaned on this throughout my life. Gosh, that sea is so loud. I have leaned on this throughout my life to really, really help me. The other thing I've really suffered with in life has been anxiety. And I don't believe this is anything to do with my father's death. I think this is something that I've had since I was very young. I remember being anxious at school and really sensitive. And I found that when we wake up in the morning, our cortisol levels can be higher, especially if you're stressed. And so, you know, I've had periods in my life where I've woken up first thing in the morning in just a state of complete panic, and like waking up from a nightmare, but you haven't had a nightmare. You just sort of wake up panicking, can't catch breath, sweating, and just in a real mess, really. Like I say, I have found that having exercise in my life during these times, and this is when I've really heavily leaned onto this, is that the more that you exercise, the more of that cortisol you counteract. And other ways to do that are to get a really good night's sleep and to eat a balanced diet, and also caffeine intake. I've also lowered my caffeine intake quite recently, actually, because I was getting anxious again. So all these things, when you put it together, you really can sort of help yourself. There was a recent article, actually, that a friend shared with me, and it was published in the Telegraph, and that was talking about this and saying about the benefits of exercise versus antidepressants. And a recent study at a university in Queensland, Australia, has revealed that exercise can be twice as effective as antidepressants. A friend of mine, she's actually, in the last year, she joined a club and she does CrossFit. And I'm sure she won't mind me saying that she wasn't somebody who did any form of exercise at all. She didn't have a particularly good diet. And then when she got herself into this, she's become the most motivated and inspirational person you could imagine. She never misses a class. She goes, come hell or high water, she goes to that class. And she's improved her diet. She has improved her mental health. And it's given her a new lease of life. And it's wonderful to hear her and how she speaks about it. And she keeps herself a little record of her personal best. She publishes all of that on her personal Instagram. And like I say, it's like this little project that you're doing for yourself. And it does, it really, really can improve your life. Now, I also want to go into at some point, but I won't do that today, but I'm going to go into at some point my morning routine, which involves exercise. And since I've sort of embraced all this personal growth business, I've learned so much more about, you know, that it's not just to do with exercise. There is so much more you can do to help yourself. And so I thought, right, on these dog walks, I'll go into various subjects like that, of just what I'm learning as I go along. I'm in no way an expert, but this is just what I'm learning, and just want to pass it on to anyone who's listening who it might help. So I'll be doing that in future episodes. And just going back to the grief, like I said, my father's death will never ever leave me. I'm sure anyone who's experienced grief will know that it never ends. There's not an end point to it, but there are ways that you can help yourself, and there are ways which you can scientifically help yourself within your body. And I would highly recommend doing so, and starting with some exercise, and like I say, concentrating on something which has nothing to do with what you're dealing with. Because apart from anything, if you can take your mind off of it for even an hour a day, that's got to be a good thing. Right. I've got no idea if this will see the light of day. I know that the sea is particularly loud. My footsteps are probably quite loud. We've had a woman falling off a cliff. And so I'm not quite sure if this will make it onto the platform, but you never know. So I will leave it there, and I am off. Please feel free to contact me. I'm on Instagram and Facebook at One Single Woman. You can also email me. My email address is pippabrown@live.co.uk. Thank you so much for being here with me on the beach. And until next time, bye for now.